Let me invite you there. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with us to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 this morning. And this morning we're going to be looking at a truth from God's Word that when somebody meets the Savior, when somebody meets Christ, that person can't help but come away being a different person. That when Christ passes by their life, they are totally changed and become a new creature. And we're going to see a little bit of that truth this morning here from Acts chapter 16. And so you're there, Acts chapter 16, and I would invite your attention there. We'll begin at verse number 16, and we'll read down through verse number 34. Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 16 down through verse number 34. The Bible says this, "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's hands were loosed, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors opened, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he sat meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. I want you to notice those two verses there at the very end, verse 33 and 34. where the Bible says this, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. For a few moments this morning, I'd like to preach you to this thought and ask you this question: are you different? Are you different? Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this day. And Father, we do thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. And yes, Lord, even your grace that we sometimes don't deserve. And Lord, now I just pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. May the words I speak be those of you and you alone. May the message this morning be a help, a challenge, an encouragement to these your people. And the Lord, this morning, if there's someone here that know not Christ as their Savior, Lord, we pray they not leave this church without getting that settled 100% sure that Christ is their Savior and that heaven's their home. And the Lord, this morning, as Christians, may we be challenged with this question. May we be challenged with this thought that as we now are living after salvation, are we indeed different? And Lord, may we seek to be different. And the Lord, show a difference to a lost and dying world. Lord, now we just pray that everything that has been said and done this morning will be done to your honor, your glory, and we'll be careful to praise you for it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Of course, here in Acts chapter 16, we have the account of Paul and Silas being thrown in the prison. Now, if you've ever heard this account preached, if you've ever heard this story relayed at all, it's usually taught or preached that, well, they were thrown in the prison for preaching Jesus. They were thrown in the prison for preaching something that went against the customs of the day. But as we see here from our text, that's actually not why they are actually thrown in the prison. Notice there again, verse number 16. Verse number 16, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying." And so what we have here, we have this lady. The Bible says she's possessed by this spirit of divination. Basically what that is and what it means is that this girl, this lady, this woman, she was basically, for lack of a better term, she was demon-possessed. And what was happening was she was being exploited and taken advantage of by her masters. Notice there verse number 19. The Bible says, "And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they brought Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers." And so here we have this lady. She's demon-possessed. And it says that she brought her masters much gain. In other words, she probably brought them much money, much wealth by her soothsaying. Now that a term, the spirit of divination, basically we get our modern day idea of a ventriloquist, somebody that, you know, now today we use ventriloquist as kind of a kid's thing and kind of a fun thing, you know, the old vaudeville acts and all of those things. And but that's where we get that term from, is here in Acts chapter number 16. That's kind of the background to it. But so her masters, they're using this lady to bring in money, to bring in wealth, to bring in gains. And then verse number 17, we see here, the Bible says, "The same followed Paul," this talking about the lady, "the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And so this lady, she comes and she says, these men, they are here for a purpose, and that purpose is to show the way of salvation. And so, verse number 18, and this did she many days. And so she's proclaiming that they're there to show the way that people can be saved. But then you notice what Paul is, verse 18. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And so we see that now this lady has truly been set free. This lady has been released from her demon possession. Now, you think that would be cause for rejoicing. You think that would be cause for people to be happy. But you notice what the masters say in verse number 19. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they were very upset. Because now this was interfering with their payday. This was interfering with their ill-gotten gains. And you know, it's always amazing that you find that money will make people do some crazy things. And here, this loss of gains, this loss of income, by exploiting this lady, these masters, these men, well, now they're mad. And notice what they do. They caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, or to the judges of the day, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. You know what? No, they weren't troubling our city. They were troubling them, because they just basically did away with their meal ticket. They got they freed this lady of her demon possession. And then you notice it says there, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. So we see here the accusation is that Paul and Silas, being Jews, that they do exceedingly trouble. Well, the only problem with that is that at the time, Judaism was not a prohibited religion, but the cult of the emperor was the official religion. But propagating it was regarded as a menace. So while it was not necessarily outlawed, you couldn't also go about really proclaiming it and preaching it as freely as we could today. And so Paul and Silas here, they're regarded as Jews, since at that time the Romans considered Christianity to be a Jewish sect. Look there, if you would, Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. And notice there, if you would, verses 14 through 16. The Bible says, and when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, if it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters. And he drave them from the judgment seat. So we see here that Judaism, it was what would be referred to as a licensed religion under the Roman law. And so here in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas, they come forth, they're teaching, they're preaching, they're showing the way of salvation. And up to this point, everybody was okay with it until they interfered with this demon-possessed lady. And so they bring him before the judges, and they have an accusation that they teach customs which are not lawful, in verse 21, and then verse 22. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And of course, we know they're thrown in the prison. And yet while they're in prison, verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And so here, even though Paul and Silas are thrown in the prison, we find that Paul and Silas, they're not behaving like defeated Christians. Quite the contrary. In fact, we find that they are behaving like victorious Christians. Because the truth of the matter this morning is that even though they were thrown in prison, because they still had Christ, they were still victorious in Christ. And then we see that after the earthquake, just like they did before, they would preach salvation. And you notice there that in verse 27, and the keeper of the prison awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. He knew that if he lost those prisoners, that was as good as losing his own life. And so he was just going to cut out the middle man, and he was going to take his life right there on his own. Because, I mean, if the earthquake came and opened the walls of a prison today, I'm going to go out on a limb and say most of the prisoners that were in that prison would probably filter out of that prison. But Paul and Silas stayed behind. Verse number 28, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And so just like they did before the earthquake, after the earthquake, we see that they preached salvation to the jailer. And we see this morning that when people are converted, a great change takes place in their life. They want to go back and they want to make restitution where possible. The last will believe in a religion that makes people different. You see, for too many, those who change their color of their environment, there are too many like that, but there are still some that seek to change and change like God would have them to change. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." You see, this morning, when you trusted Christ as your Savior, when He saved you, you put away the old things. You put away the old man. You became a new creature in Christ. And all things have become new in your life. You know, I think this morning of where we would be had Christ not touched our life, had Christ not changed our life, had He not saved us. No doubt we probably wouldn't be in church this morning. We'd probably be off doing, you know, who knows what. But we can be thankful this morning the Lord touched our life and that we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And you notice there, verse 33 and 34, Acts chapter 16, the Bible says, "And He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized." So right after salvation, we see He was baptized, He and all His straightway. "And when He had brought them into His house, He set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all His house." You know what's interesting here? This man was a keeper of the prison, and he himself was in prison and didn't even know it. He was in the prison of sin. But now that Christ had been preached to him, he was set free from that prison of sin. And now he set free these prisoners, and there was a change in his life, and he became different. And he didn't just become different, in saying he was different, but there was an actual difference in his life. It was visible. It was seen. And if you are a Christian this morning and you claim to be a Christian, then there will be a visible difference in your life. There will be a visual difference in the way you talk, in the way you act, in the way you behave. You will no longer do the old things, Lord willing, that you used to do. And so the question becomes this morning, how should Christians be different? How should we be different than the lost world around us? Well, number one, this morning, I believe we ought to be different in happiness. We ought to be different in happiness. You know, oftentimes you look at the lost world, and usually despite what they say, you find very quickly that the lost world, they're not a very happy group of people. They're not a very happy camp of people. And they might have careers, they might have money, they might have influence, they might have success. They might have all the trappings of what this world says makes somebody happy. But at the end of the day, they still have something in their life, something in their heart that is missing. And what is missing is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us, I believe it's in John, that the Lord Jesus Christ said that I've come to give you life. And I've come to give you life more abundantly. That your joy might be full. The Lord Jesus Christ this morning wants us to be a happy people. He wants us to be a joyful people. But we look at the lost around us, and oftentimes they're some of the most unhappy people because at the end of the day, they are doomed, they're damned, they're lost and undone without Christ. And if they don't trust Christ as their Savior, they're going to die in their sins and spend an eternity without Him. But as Christians this morning, and listen, I often say it so many times, yes, we're to be different. And we are different. But not because we're better than the lost. Because at one point we were in that same boat. We were in those same shoes. But now that we know Christ, now we are a blessed people because we know Christ as our Savior. And as Christians this morning, we have received so much. I mean, you really think about all that we have received from God. We've received forgiveness. We've received the gift of salvation. We've received the promise of heaven. We've received God's presence. Well, listen, the Bible tells us in Lamentations that His mercies are new day by day. Every morning we wake up, we have new mercies on a day by day basis. All because of the change Christ has made in our life. And as Christians this morning, we should be happy as a testimony to others. Now listen, does that mean that we never have reason to worry or fret or that everything's always going to come up sunshine and rainbows? Absolutely not. The Bible tells us that it rains on the just and the unjust alike. And there are going to be days that you have your bad days. And there are going to be days that you have your trials and your tribulations and your heartaches and your sorrows. But the difference is this: you have the Lord Jesus Christ to help see you through those difficult days. And that's what makes the difference. I've often said that your worst day as a Christian is still better than your best day in the world. Because it's truly the Lord Jesus Christ that makes the difference. And I mean, you think about it this morning. You know, those people, those friends, those family members you're trying to witness to, and usually they know for a little bit of what goes on in your life. They know a little bit of things that happen to you, and they know those times when you're going through a hard time or a trial or a tribulation, and yet you still show up with a smile on your face and a pep in your step, and they have to stop and sit back and say, do they not realize what they're going through? Do they not realize they just got a cancer diagnosis? Do they not realize they just got a shut off notice? Do they not realize they, that they're behind on bills? Or do they not realize life seems to be falling apart all around them? And yet here they are, they're happy, they're smiling, they're joyous, they have a pep in their step. Eventually, they're going to want to know, well, what is it that makes you that way? Well, it's certainly not what's going on around you, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God that gives us the joy. It's God that gives us that pep in our step. It's God that gives us that ability to be happy and to rejoice. And as Christians this morning, we should be different in our happiness. But then secondly, this morning we see that as Christians, we should be different in our love for others. We should be different in our love for others. You know, as Christians this morning, we should love fellow Christians. We should love one another. The Bible tells us there in John chapter 13 and verse 35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." You know how this world is going to know we're the real deal? You know how this world is going to know we are who we say we are? Not by how much Bible we know, not by how many standards we have, not by how holier than thou we are of somebody, but by our love. Our love for one another and our love for them. Listen, I can know this Bible, Genesis to Revelation, but if I don't have its principles ingrained in my heart and in my life, then this world isn't going to care how much I know. They want to know first and foremost that you have a care for them, that you have a love for them, that you have a concern for them. And then they want to know that you have a love and a care for one another. One of the things we run into all the time when inviting somebody to church or trying to share our faith or whatever the case may be is that we run into people who they have a horror story of a church that treated them horribly. And because of that experience with church, they swear off church altogether, never to darken the doors of a church again. Listen, we expect that sort of thing in the world. We expect that sort of thing in the workplace in the world. Because they don't know anybody, because they oftentimes they're unsaved and they're lost and they don't have Christ and they don't have God. Take your Bibles, go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 6 this morning. Because I want to show you a truth this morning we need to make sure that we guard against. Galatians chapter 6. And we see that we should not only be different and love our fellow Christians, but we ought to be different because of our concern for others. Galatians chapter 6, notice there if you would, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And then notice what he says, verse 3. "For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." It's sad to say, but oftentimes some of the most judgmental places, some of the most judgmental organizations is the church. And folks, this morning, the church ought not to be that way. We ought not to be that way. You know, someone comes in and maybe they're covered head to toe in tattoos. What's your first thought toward them? is it, oh, if we have that person in our church, they're going to give our church a bad testimony or a bad name? Or is your first thought, do they know Jesus? Do they know Christ? Do they know beyond any shadow of a doubt that they're going to go to heaven someday when they die? Or how about if a single mother with some kids comes into the church, and is your first thought, well, why doesn't she have a husband, or why doesn't she have a dad? Or is your first thought, do they know Jesus? Do those kids know Jesus? Too oftentimes the church is guilty of shooting its own wounded. And here we have the principle from God's Word. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. In verse 3, for if a man think himself to be something. In other words, you know, oftentimes we look down on others, and while at the same time lifting and puffing ourselves up, and we don't even realize we were once in that same boat as that person that we now judge. And we need to guard against it. We need to be careful. And we need to make sure. Now listen, I'm not talking about this morning condoning sin or welcoming sin or whatever the case like that is. But what I am talking about is being a welcoming, loving church. A church where someone who does have tattoos, they know they can come in and they know that, you know what? They're going to be loved just the same as anybody else. Someone that comes in and maybe they are a single parent with some kids, that they're going to be loved just as much as somebody else that has the what we would consider the perfect model family or whatever the case is, maybe. But we should be different because of our concern for others. We should be different in love for others because of their interest and others, as in giving in missions and the kingdom work. We should be different this morning in our love for others. We need to be a loving people. But then thirdly this morning, we see that we need to be different in our attitude towards sin. We need to be different in our attitude towards sin. You see, this morning, we should hate sin for a number of reasons. Number one, because it breaks fellowship with God. It breaks fellowship with God. It keeps people separated from God. There is a gap that cannot be crossed because of sin. But then it's because of the cross that comes down that bridges that gap between us and God. We should be different in our attitudes towards sin because it grieves the Holy Spirit. We should be different in our attitude towards sin because it hinders praying. Psalm 66 and verse 8, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We should be different in our attitude towards sin because it dishonors the Savior. And then we should be different in our attitude towards sin because of what it does to a Christian influence. You think this morning of the change that happened in Saul of Tarsus's life, who would then go on to become the Apostle Paul. You think of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He went up into the sycamore tree just to get a view, a glimpse of Jesus. Why? Because he knew Jesus could change his life. And so we should be different in our attitude towards sin. And then fourthly and finally this morning, as Christians, we should be different in our outlook toward life. We should be different in our outlook towards life. You know, it kind of goes back to that first point, as we should be different in our happiness. You know, oftentimes this world has no hope. But as Christians this morning, we have a hope. Look there, if you would, go over and take your Bible, 2 Thessalonians. or actually 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 4. And notice there, if you would, verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others, which have no hope." And here's the hope, verse 14. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." You see, folks, this morning, as Christians, we ought to have a different outlook towards life. We need to ask ourselves this morning, what can I do for Christ who saved me? What can I do for others? I think this morning, there at the church in Philly, growing up, we had a Wednesday night youth program. It was called Patch the Pirate. And I remember one Wednesday night we did a exercise, and we brought in a lot of kids on the church vans, and we remember that we just asked a question one Wednesday night, you know, how many have, you know, mom and dad in the home, just mom, just dad. A good majority of those kids didn't have both mom and dad. A lot of them just had mom, or a lot of them just had dad. A lot of them were just being raised by grandparents. And, you know, oftentimes, you know, they were being sent off to church on the church bus, on the church van, or whatever the case may be. Oftentimes, it was they just looked at it as a babysitting service, but a lot of those kids, if it wasn't for the church, where would they have been? And to this day, there's a few that they're in ministry and they're serving and they're still in church serving the Lord. I remember that we had a vacation Bible school. I've told the story and at the church in Oklahoma. And that whole week, not one kid got saved, not one kid came forward for salvation. But then a couple weeks later, of all things, I was preaching on Moses and what is that in thine hand? And wasn't a salvation message by any means. But at the end of the invitation, like I do always, I always give an invitation for salvation. And this young girl, she raised her hand and had one of the ladies, Miss Debbie, go and share the gospel with her. She trusted Christ as her Savior. We had a bowling activity the next week. And went out, talked to her parents or to her dad, and asked if we could baptize her. And that dad gave permission that we could baptize her. And so we were at this bowling activity, and one of the moms who had been coming with her daughters, she said, "Well, what's this baptism thing all about? And my daughters need to be baptized." And I said, "Well, after the bowling, let's go back to the church and we can sit down and talk about it." And so at about 9:30, 10 o'clock, I guess it was a Tuesday night, we went back to the church and had an opportunity there to lead mom to the Lord and all three of her daughters to the Lord. And then that Sunday, We were able to baptize the one girl that got saved, and then we were able to baptize the mom and her three daughters. We were able to baptize five that Sunday, and over time, they got out of church and moved away, and so I didn't know if they were still in church anywhere. Don't know if they were still, you know, in, you know, still living for Christ or whatever the case may be. And I saw something about a year or so ago. This one girl who had gotten saved, she just got accepted to Oklahoma Baptist University, one of the Bible colleges out in Oklahoma. And then saw something about a week or two ago. They just got back from a Christian camp there in Oklahoma. Falls Creek is where a lot of the campers, we would go for camp in Oklahoma. And then of all things, she messaged me one night out of the blue and said, do you know of any good devotions that I can read for my devotions? And I say that all to say this. We should be different in our outlook towards life because we don't know what the Lord is going to do in somebody's life. We don't know what the Lord is going to do in somebody's heart. Nor is it our job. And so oftentimes we witness to people, we invite people to church, and sometimes we say, well, we just don't see any results. The truth of the matter is you might not see any results for years and years to come. But what the Lord has called us to is to be faithful. He has called us to be different. And here's the good news this morning. If you're saved this morning, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, then you are different. You have been changed. And the devil, he does not dominate you this morning. You are not headed for hell because Christ has his way in you instead of Satan, instead of the devil. And the question is then, are you truly different? Are you letting Christ have his way in your life? Are you letting him work? You say, there's an old Sunday school chorus, he's still working on me. You know, sometimes it seems like, you know, you ever see those, you know, those construction. 4 summers now since we've been here. Keystone Avenue, every single summer. It seems like they dig up that road. The other day, we were taking Michaela home. And I go down Elmer Avenue. And I go down, I guess, to where the Mad Hatter Cafe is. To where I can, you know, turn there so I can hit 220. And without fail, they had that street blocked off every single year. And it says under construction. And you know what? As a Christian this morning, sometimes you might feel like you are under a constant state of under construction. But you know what? If the Lord is still working on you, then you know what? You can praise the Lord for it and just let him keep working on you. Just every single day, get a little bit closer to him, become a little bit more of a Christian than you were today, last week, last month, last year, and eventually you'll get there. Eventually you'll be to where the Lord wants you to be, and just let him keep working on you. Let him just keep having his way in your life. So are you different this morning? I hope you are, because if you have Christ, you are different. And so let's start living it and living it out as a testimony to a lost and dying world. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together at our feet.